Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot. Inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you. You are me. And we are visionary women.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to the Visionary Hotspot. I'm so glad to have you guys with us today. Today, we are talking about the power of forgiveness, because we all know at some point in time throughout our lives, we have needed that power of forgiveness. So thank you guys for joining me today. Today, guys, remember, this episode is brought to you by the Glam Studios, guys. Glam Studios, where you walk in burdened down, but you come out feeling refreshed, renewed, and restored. Everyone, today we have with us the amazing Michelle Moore. Michelle, how are you, my dear?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. I apologize. We got a bit of a slow start today, but we are going to make it happen because this is such an amazing conversation to have. So tell me, Michelle, why is this conversation so important to you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I tell you what, one thing that happened for me was God really took me down a path that showed me how much brokenness and how much unforgiveness there is in the world. And really, it's about hurting people. And people are hurting. And one of the things that is the root of the pain is that they're holding on to unforgiveness. And really, unforgiveness, you know, it can just wreak havoc in someone's life. And it does. It absolutely does in a lot of people's lives. But all I knew was what, you know, I was holding on to and didn't even see it as unforgiveness, but years of pain from abandonment from my parents and things that I just couldn't let go and grieving really for what the enemy had stolen and didn't know how to find, you know, thought I was as happy as you could be, but really was not experiencing freedom and joy and just really God's best. And, you know, I had a couple of things happen and God got a hold of me and just really showed me about the power of forgiveness, that I needed to let go what my parents, I guess, had or hadn't done. They had left, they hadn't been there, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, it was one of those things where now I look back and go, wow, it just, thank goodness. I told my kids last week, I said, you know, God loves you just the way you are. And I said, but God loves all of us too much to leave us where we are.
Yes, yes.
That's pretty
yes.
good.
And you know what is, yes, and you know what I find too when it comes
What's
to
that?
Forgiveness? I think the biggest problem that I find with forgiveness is that people tend to not forgive themselves. You know, the thing about mm-hmm. when we think about divine, we think in terms of this universal being that is so powerful and almighty and all great, but when it comes to our issues, our circumstances, our problems, it's quite minute. You understand what I'm saying? And so
mm-hmm.
when we think in terms of a greater power, we also need to see that there's a greater source of power within us, and we need to start with using that power on ourselves, because the greatest injustice that I think that humanity does within the realms of humanity is that we don't learn how to forgive ourselves as though we're supposed to be omnipotent. You know, we're never supposed to make mistakes. And those
yeah.
mistakes that we do make are so foreign to the human experience that it's unforgivable. So how do we start there with forgiving ourselves?
Well, and I got to say, that's such a great point. You know, it does really start also with letting go of things that maybe you're carrying. I say it's kind of like carrying around a bunch of grocery bags with you. You know, we hear people carry
yes.
baggage. And so it's,
yes.
you know, they're loaded with Cokes, you know, or something really heavy that you, you know, you're like, okay, I'm trying to carry these into the house and from the car, and they're really heavy. And that's what unforgiveness, and there are other things too that people carry around, but I do want to say what comes to mind, too, is that years ago I realized that I do this, and I believe all of us do this, and that is that, and it's a really bad habit and a bad thing, but we tend to judge our imperfections or compare our imperfections with other people.
Yes.
That we see that they do so great, right? So it's so easy
yes.
for us to give grace and mercy to other people, just like forgiveness sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for that, but we hold ourselves at such a harder, higher, you know, standard. And so what happens is we are so down on ourselves and, you know, we just can't thrive. You know, I kind of hate the word survivor. People, you know, say
yes.
survivor and I'm like, I want to be a thriver. I don't want to survive. You know,
yes.
I want to have kicked life, you know, and I am just skipping through the streets here, you know, of life.
I love it.
And
I love it.
Not just surviving. And so, but one of the ways you thrive is you got to get rid of that baggage. You got to put those bags down. And you're right. You know, I think about when you're on the airplane, what do they tell us to do if the cabin loses pressure and the oxygen masks come down? They say, you know, put the mask on yourself first before you start putting
yes.
the oxygen masks on the children. So you got to forgive yourself first of whatever. And I got to
yes.
tell you, sometimes it's forgiving yourself for carrying around the unforgiveness, you know,
wow.
and for maybe some of your own behavior that came from maybe a root of unforgiveness to someone else. And so, you know, but here I was, you know, living life and doing the best I could, but still was so busy looking at what I had not had. And it was, you know, and what had been really stolen from me. And, you know, I was abandoned really by my father at 5 and then my mother at 14 when she, you know, she actually vanished. And I didn't know if she was alive for almost 18 years, if she was dead or alive or, you know, whatever that might look like, and was worried, and also looking at, into the face of never knowing, you know, so there was
wow.
a lot of the unknown, and so, but she turned out to be alive, and so you deal with that abandonment, you know, being an only child, loving my mother, adoring my mother, and she just up and left one day, you know, changed her identity, and this was before identity theft, but she stole someone else's identity. And just
wow.
vanished off of the face of the earth. And, you know, I remember speaking with a private investigator who I'd seen on Oprah one time years ago, and she said, your mother has been able to do the one thing that nobody can usually do, and that is there's usually somebody, a lot of times it's a mom, but my mother's mother had already passed when she vanished, and she said there's usually somebody they can't let go of. And I said, I would have been that person. And she goes, well, then your mother's been able to do the one thing most people can't do. They can usually leave a lot of people, but there's usually somebody
wow.
they can't leave behind. And she left everybody mm-hmm. behind, including me. And so that wreaked havoc on my life, my value, my self-worth, the way I saw myself, you know, everything, obviously, because that creeps into every area of your life. And so, you know, but what happens is even as you get older, you still grieve for the childhood that you feel like you were supposed to have. You know, that look,
right,
I gotta say,
exactly.
I remember when she first left, I would cry in my bed and I would think, gosh, even murderers and rapists have their own mothers come visit them in prison. What is wrong with me? What have I done that's so horrible? And I literally spent years trying to figure out what was so horrible about me. And so that my own mother would leave me, you know, the person that's supposed to love you unconditionally forever and ever and ever, you know, would give their life for you. And she left. And so, you know, those are the kinds of things that obviously they're going to wreak havoc in a person's life when their parents have done that. And so, you know, and the Lord really revealed to me one day that just because I knew that my father was alive and I knew his phone number and his address, you know, did not mean that he had not abandoned me. And actually what I heard God say was, yeah, your mother's not the first person who left you. And that's when the revelation came and he showed me
wow.
just because you knew your father was alive and his, you know, number and his address did not mean he was there for you. And oh my goodness, talk about bursting into tears, you know. But God is such a great God and he loves us too much to leave us where we are. And that's what happened. God, I always say God got a hold of me and showed me how I was being ungrateful for the things I had, things he had handed
me
on a platter, and just started giving me a visions one night. Because what I heard was this light voice in my ear, in my spirit, and I heard, "You are not even grateful for the things you have." And I thought, grateful?
Wow.
What would I be grateful for? And that's when God gave me three visions. And the first vision was my children. He reminded me of my children being born at Vanderbilt in the NIC unit, being very sick. And when your children are in the NIC unit at Vanderbilt, you really see some sick babies. Mine were nothing compared to the other ones. And he showed me how healthy they were. And then he showed me my husband and how I have a lot of girlfriends who would love to have a husband, you know, that is as great as my husband. And then he showed me that he had given me my dream home that I had prayed for.
Wow.
And so, and even gave me, you know, the exclamation point at the end and gave me every little detail I wanted in that home. And so, you know, he showed me all of that. And
that is incredible.
I thought, you know, yeah, and I was sitting on the couch crying. You know, I was crying over something else that was going on family-wise and just not being treated like family with family. And, you know, and when he showed me that, I thought, what I had a thought I'd never had before, and that was, it's a Sunday night, Desperate Housewives is getting ready to come on in a few minutes. And I thought, my parents, odds are not sitting on their couches right now crying about what they had or hadn't done, what they've missed with me, none of that. Like, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm spending all of this effort. You know, it's been years at that point, years. And I'm spending all of this effort, all of this time, all of this pain, and I'm not getting anywhere. Like, they've left. They don't care. And, you know, at the time they were both alive. And so I made a declaration to myself, and I said, I'm going to change. There's something that's going to change. I can't keep doing this to myself. And I didn't know, but it turned out that God revealed that to me and then slowly started to reveal a number of things. This was the beginning of August, about mid-August maybe, and of that year. And I ended up going through a period of time where I say God took me down a path marked forgiveness. And it was one day I found myself on my back-covered porch crying, and it was from the beauty of the raindrops falling from the sky, and I thought, what is going on with me?
Wow.
And what it was is God was showing me about gratitude, and God had me ask for forgiveness from a couple of people. And even though I hadn't necessarily done anything specifically wrong in those relationships, but I had a specific relationship where, but God showed me that I was accountable for being unforgiving. And I thought, wow. And so it was very interesting what God had me do, but I did it. And like I said, I started recognizing the importance of gratitude, and I started understanding what grace and what mercy were. And I started understanding the power of forgiveness. And so that was in August. And the next year, in May, I was with my children. I have two boys. And I was laughing at something. And I thought, what is this feeling I feel? What is this? What is this? You know, I laugh all the time. Got a great sense of humor. I'm funny. What is this feeling? And I realized the feeling was pure joy.
Joy.
And
because people confuse it sometimes. Sometimes we confuse happiness with joy. And the thing about happiness, it comes to pacify us. You know, we can be happy with a new car. We can be happy with a new house. We can be happy with what we see as a new life. But joy is something that is something deep within a person, and if you had none of those things, you would feel a sensational amount of overwhelming happiness that is not conducive to other elements being in your life for you to experience it. So I love the fact that you mentioned
of this journey that you traveled on in order to gain forgiveness, because I'm telling you, I have seen it, I have witnessed it, I have experienced the feelings of not forgiving yourself, and therefore you can't forgive others. Remember, there's a passage in the scripture that talks about wickedness proceeds from the wicked. So if we think in terms of wickedness proceeding from the wicked, which is what David was explaining, then we can also say that joy comes from the joyful and real honesty comes from the honest. So that is a recycling of energy. Have you ever noticed that when you're in front of someone and their presence comes in, it's like a sadness that comes with them? You
yes.
and I and we as a people, humanity, we recycle energy all the time. And so
yes.
when we think of forgiveness, how can we ask for forgiveness from a higher power when we are not wise enough to give that to ourselves? And we're only hurting ourselves and imprisoning ourselves when we don't do it. And so when
well,
we think of the power of forgiveness, it goes
yes.
far greater than that. What do you think?
Yeah, and I always say too, I don't know if you've read the book by Jim Collins, it's Good to Great, and it's really essentially saying the enemy of greatness is goodness. You know, a lot of times people don't, they get comfortable with good and being good. Things are good, but they're not
yes.
great. And so it's a great book if somebody hasn't read it and interested, especially business people. It's a basic business book you got to read. Like every successful business person just about has read Good to Great. And it's a great book because what it talks about is the enemy of greatness is goodness, because once you reach a certain level, sometimes you get content and you don't strive for greatness. Well, it's the same thing I think as happiness is to joy. And so I think
yes.
happiness can keep you from really striving to dig deep. Look, it's work to work on
yes.
yourself. It is not easy
right.
to, and I'm going to tell you, it is not easy to forgive people. And I'm going to say,
yes.
especially those who are not even sorrowful. They're not even saying they're sorry. Will you please
Come on.
Forgive me? In fact,
yes.
I had to realize
mm-hmm.
that we are forgiven. So, because we're not perfect either. And it was
yep.
interesting because I had a revelation one day. God showed me. And boy, was it, if you would have said to me, well, Michelle, are you perfect? I would have said, absolutely not. Oh, my goodness, I have my flaws, blah, blah, blah. Tell you some of them. But what I realized was that God showed me that I was judging my father, my mother, and their actions.
Mm.
And I had no right. I had no right to say, no matter what, there's no excuse you shouldn't leave a child. But I will say this.
Wow.
Even though most people, we know the majority, I won't say most, but the majority of people in our country and throughout the world would agree with me. And I knew that. But what I knew
uh-huh.
was that was not God's way.
Right.
And so I love this. This came to me a few weeks ago, and it is, I finally was able to articulate something that is so important, and it's called yielding. And what you get to do as a Christian is you get to decide if you're going to yield to God's way or your way. What are you going to do? Which path are you going to choose? And I chose God's path. And so because I love, and here's the other thing too. A lot of people don't understand the difference between religion and relationship. And you cannot
right.
do the kind of transformational forgiveness and showing grace and mercy to others and being grateful. You cannot have gratitude in your heart, I don't believe, without having a relationship. And the reason is because there's a big difference between, religion. And this is what I say when I talk about relationship with God. And that is, I say, if you call me at 11 o'clock at night and I look at my phone and it's you, and I go, oh, it's Charmaine. It's 11 o'clock at night. It must be urgent.
Mm-hmm.
And I pick the phone up and I answer the phone. Versus if it's a number I don't know, I don't answer the phone. What's
right.
the difference? The difference is relationship. The relationship will, Michelle, I'm stuck. It's raining. It's freezing cold out. I'm on the side of the road. I need someone to come and get me. Can you please come get me? I'm scared. I
mm-hmm.
need help. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Charmaine, I'm in the car in my pajamas with my flip-flops on, rushing out the door for you. Okay?
Right.
That's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well,
correct.
What I had to realize is, why would you, without a relationship with Jesus, want to choose Jesus's way? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
God's way. God, you're not going to yield and go, you know what, God, I'm just going to trust you, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to walk this out because I'm supposed to. You know, feelings are fickle. And so one minute you might feel like forgiving, and the next minute you don't. It's a decision, and even we know the Bible talks about it may be a decision that you make about forgiveness that, you know, may be 7 times 70. It may be way more than that. It may be, you know, 20 times in an hour. And so but when I talk to people about forgiving and forgiving themselves and forgiving others, I say make a logical decision. And so sit here and think out exactly what you're going to do. Is God's way, are you going to join me on the path marked forgiveness? Is God's way what you want to do? And if so, make a logical decision so that tomorrow or in an hour when the enemy comes to bait you and that family member or that friend or that whatever that or pops back up in your head or they're doing it again or whatever it might be, you're going to go, you know what, I'm not going back down that road. I've already made that decision. And you're going to cling to the decision and go, I'm not picking that back up. It's like putting those bags down and not picking them back up. Because you can.
Right.
You can.
Yes.
Those bags don't go anywhere.
Exactly. And then also it's important to understand, too, that God is something that in someone and a being for the individual. And so let's be quite clear that I personally know, coming from such a diverse city as New York, that I know Christians who have a true relationship with God. I know Muslims who have a true relationship with God. I have witnessed with my own two eyes Jewish women, men, having a true relationship with God. And mm-hmm. I have witnessed how that relationship was a prime example of everything that we're supposed to emanate in the Bible. And so when we think in terms of relationship and forgiveness, I really believe wholeheartedly that that starts with us. Because a lot of times we think that our religion is the very thing that we're supposed to live out, but it's not supposed to live within us. If what your faith is not living within you, you can't have forgiveness from the beginning because you have no true grounding within yourself. And so when we talk about faith, religion, and also forgiveness, let's start there with that being the prime institute, because we all know that the divine universe is not going to be filled with heaven just with Christians and just with Jews and just with Muslims.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting people up there hopefully I pray that I get there. I'm not going to say I'm definitely going to get there. But I hope and pray that I do get there. And we're going to be very interestingly surprised on who is there. And so it's very interesting when we think of forgiveness, we have to think in terms of humanity. Because some things on the planet that we engage in, we amplify, are not the examples that we're supposed to live out within the realms of the scriptures. And that requires forgiveness. You know, I think, I just got an epiphany as I'm talking to you. Humanity Humanity requires forgiveness from one another because we amplify that which is inhumane. If we think in terms of what we do, not simply to ourselves, but to our neighbors and to each other. I mean, think about it. Can you imagine the things that your neighbors would say about you if they weren't in your presence? Now, you're going to tell me that that's not an inhumane injustice to one another? Those are the types of things that displays how we really feel. So when we think in terms of forgiveness, we also have to think in terms of humanity forgiving humanity for being inhumane, because that is a big picture that we're finding being played out every single day in the media. Right now, I honestly can say I know mega friendships. I mean, been friends for 20, 30 years. Completely destroyed. I mean, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump completely destroyed all kinds of friendships. I mean, they're battling it out on Facebook. I mean, you got tweetings and retweetings and terrible commentary going on within the realms of social media, and we're not even really being social. We're being inhumane to just
our being able to have an opinion. So when we think of forgiveness, I think we really need to think in a greater term than just simply forgiving ourselves, forgiving the immediate people that we love and we cared for, and then also the people in our circle, because we owe a huge apology to humanity because we treat each other like crap. I think so.
Yeah. I do some speaking in business settings as well, and one of the things that I find very interesting that has come up numerous times through the years that has kind of surprised me is that I've had people confide and say in me and say, you know, Michelle, you really are an inspiration that you come in and you speak to us, and it's a business topic or business topics, but that you're also living out your faith within your business. And, you know, my two lives don't intersect in any way. They run parallel. And I have had people write, you know, thank you for showing me an example of what a Christian businesswoman would look like, or I need help knowing how to live that out. Well, the fact of the matter is that we are supposed to be the church no matter where we are or what we're doing. And so, you know, there's not Charmaine the Christian and then Charmaine the girl at work. You know, there's not supposed to be that. And so I know that we are living in a world where people are almost like living double lives. And I think it's very interesting. Yeah.
Yes,
very interesting.
Yes.
And you know, one thing right now that's going on, what you're talking about with the Hillary Clinton thing and Trump and whatever's going on with politics, is that there's a lot of lack of, well, first of all, respect, but that's a whole other conversation, but also grace and mercy. People get offended.
Yes.
There's a lot of offense right now. You know, the enemy, even in the Bible, it talks about how, you know, the enemy says to Jesus, you know, if you are the son of Jesus. And what the enemy tries to do is bring doubt in. And of course, you know, the spirit of offense where, you know, unfortunately people are, when you have the written word, like emails and social media, people can take things and not real sure. You might have innocently meant it, but they read something into it. You don't hear people's reflections, their tone of voice. And so what happens also is because of the setting, people are very brave behind the keyboard. And instead of in front of you, they say things they would never normally say. So that's how friendships end up getting completely out of whack. And, you know, you need to pick the phone up and have a conversation with someone before you start getting offended and going off on someone. And,
And Michelle, that's what I love, because in these last 20 seconds, this is the kind of conversation that we need to have as an American community. And that is what I love. Michelle, tell us, how can we reach out to you when we want to know more about Michelle Moore?
Well, you can certainly, you know, go to Amazon.com, and I have books on there, Abandonment to Forgiveness, and then I'm also part of the God Crazy Freedom book. I share a little bit of my testimony, a five-day Bible study on forgiveness and just a prayer and all sort kinds of stuff in that book as well as 19 other great God-loving women. And then also, if they're in the real estate business, I wrote a book called Selling Simplified, which is 55 Fast Tips to Jumpstart Your Real Estate Business. Or I say, too, that book is a great book for anybody in any kind of sales. And then, of course, you can always go to NashvilleMichelle.com.
Oh, my gosh, everyone. It has been so much fun talking to Michelle Moore today. We have learned so much. She's such an inspiration, a breath of fresh air, and an incredibly encouraging woman. Thank you all for joining me today. We'll talk soon. Bye.
Thank you, Charmaine.
The Visionary Hotspot, talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot, inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you, you are me, and we are visionary women.